Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, Chaverim, shalom. This is Yadin. This is Ross Ayatollah Safara here, LOJ. Here for the Tuesday podcast right here, the T to T. Right here, 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 I and I.
I'm going to testify.
And here, reason for the season, the Tisha B'Av from the Chazon, the vision. From the Shabbat Chazon to the Shabbat Nahamu, comfort I and I people. I'm going to ride up with the book of Job. Let's give ear, hear, hear, hear. You know, one says, have you read? Well, just give ear right now to the book of Job. The full of foremost ones have a general idea of Job. You know, Job was a righteous man, but the Almighty allows Satan to do this and that. But most ones haven't really studied the book, haven't really read the book or haven't heard the book read. So here we're going to go through a little share right here as is one of the pointed readings for the Tisha B'Av. And to get a fuller folk, even I and I who have studied this and gone through this, when we hear, even hear another reader read, it's interesting. It's like, I heard that, but not like that right there. So take note as well. But first things first, we have the evening psalm appointed for the third day of the Shabuah here for the T2T, Testify Tuesday, Psalm
92. It is a good thing to give thanks.
Pause, not 92, Psalm 82, Tuesday evening psalm, psalm appointed for the third day as chanted in the Holy Heikal and the temple. Remember the Tisha B'Av, it records the destruction of the first and second temples. And interesting, we think about the temple, right? Yeah. But we're speaking about the house, the temple of Solomon in the B.C. times in 70 A.D., in the A.D. times, the temple of Jerusalem. And that's what led to the scattering. That's what led to the judgments. That's what led to even right here, here, here in these latter days after the 400 years. So the psalm that was chanted, right, in the temple before it was destroyed here in the irid and in the truth of the spirit here, Psalm 82.
Psalm 82.
Mizmor pevet, mizmor le'asavor, 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 le'asavor.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty.
Elohim nitzav ba'adat el, el.
He judgeth among the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods.
Bekerev Elohim Yishkot.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth. For thou shalt inherit all nations, 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 inherit all
nations.
Oh, apologies, brothers and sisters. Chan, I don't know how the mic got off, but my bad right there. Let's go to this once again. Speaking about Job, we're going to play this right here, the full of full of.
I'm going to testify.
So right here from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, we have Job, J-O-B. J-O-B, now when we say J-O-B in the English, you know, from an English mind, from a Western Gentile mind, you see the name Job and it seems like a job, right? And we might make a connection there, right? Pick sense, one will say out of nonsense, but, you know, if you don't go to the Hebrew, then you pick sense out of nonsense and you still have nonsense. But we have to study to show ourselves approved. So we have Job from the Hebrew. Here from the Hebrew sense, bringing out Job persecuted, calamitous, afflicted, adversary, adverse desires, Metaphysical Bible Dictionary here, first point of reference, a coming back, Job, restored to one's senses, Job, penitent Job, converted Job. Now, in just doing a basic kind of a look up in the book, known as the Bible, from the low degree to the high degree, the KJV, we find there's a couple of Jobs and a Jobab as well. And they may look similar and the same in the English, but as we begin to study it from the Hebrew, as the scripture says, study to show ourselves approved, we find that, yeah, they have some of the same letters, but this cannot be the same word right here. So in the man that we are focusing on here for the Tisha B'Av, in other words, after the Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av, the ninth, as we mentioned, the ninth of the fifth moon, and this particular time commemorates, you know, many destructions, many tragedies for the Beit Yisrael, for the Beit Israel, right? Both in, we could say, the Old Testament times, right, also in the New Testament times, and even, in a sense, I times. And this is interesting because it's not accounted on the solar calendar. You see, the solar calendar means that some days would almost align, you know, almost at the same heavenly time, right, close. But the lunar, right, the lunar solar is a little bit different. So to have these sort of tragedy, the first temple, right, in the 500s, you know, A.D., and then to have, like, the second temple in 70 A.D. destroyed on the Hebrew date, according to the lunar calculations, at that same very time, makes you wonder. Something higher is going on here. So we have the Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, from tradition, is a time of sorrow, is a time of mourning for the loss of Zion. For the loss of Zion, for the loss of Zion. Zion in the context of the temple, the holy temple. Zion in the context of the Davidic sovereignty. Zion in the context of the Ark of the Covenant. And therefore, Zion in the context of that covenant itself. Interesting, we had the 89th Psalm, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, in the previous light. Coming forward, we have, for this day, we have Psalm 107 in the season. And these psalms also reflect from the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, that ancient Judeo-Coptic, Judeo-Christian foundation. But here to the name Eo. When we look in the scripts here in the book of Job from the Hebrew perspective, we have Aleph, Yod, Wow, and Beit. Or one could point this as Iu, or Eob, right? Eoba. Here, according to the BDB, Brown's Jarvis Briggs definition, as Job equals hated. Who is this particular Job? As we said, there's other transliterations of Job, or a J-O-B, especially in the Genesis and earlier books before we get to the book of Job, which one might think is similar or the same. But as we study the Hebrew, let's just go over this and just fact check this again. For example, we have Genesis 46:13, right? It says, and the sons of Issachar, or people say Issachar, but there's no cha in Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, Issachar, Tola, Fuva, or in a sense, Pua, and then it says, and Job, or J-O-B, right? Now, this one right here is interesting because it's the H-3102. Now, why is that interesting? Well, this is H-3102, and the other one, Job of the book of Job, is H-347. So that shows that this is not the same. It's not one and the same. Maybe similar, but Remember, similar does not mean the same. So the Job that we have in Genesis 46 and 13, the H3102, or Job, this will be Job, not Iob, but Job. Here it has as persecuted. This was the third son of Issachar, and he also had another name. He was also called Jashub. Right? So here we look at Yobab. There's also a link with Yobab. Yobab, you find Yobab or Jobab. Some say, well, Job, we've read this. Some say, well, Job is like Jobab, and because they're looking at it from an English, Western Gentile mind. But Yobab, BDB defines it as a desert, right? A desert, right? Strong's bring out the sense of a howler, one who howls. Right? From the H2980, Yabab, ancient Hebrew, Yavav, Martin, but Yabab means to cry, in the sense to cry shrilly, to shrill, to bawl. Strong say to bawl. They say to bawl or to cry out, to bawl. Why are you bawling? Not like a bawler, but why are you crying out? Why are you shrilling out? Why are you like screaming out? This is the root of Yobab or Jobab from Yabab. Now, once again, we say similar is not the same, but etymologically, we can see some links. We just want to distinguish that for the students, disciples in their studies. Now, Job's other name, the Genesis Job, right, other name is Yashib or Yashub. Yashib, Yashub, right? Here in the KJV, Joshua. What does Joshua mean? Yashub in the Hebrew means he will return. Shub, shub, shub. What's interesting is this is a time in the season, right, of Teshuvah. Modern Hebrew speakers say Teshuvah. Teshuvah, the root is shub, to turn. And the sense there is to repent, right, to be penitent, right, to return from the stray way and to return to Yahweh, truth and life, to put into that context. So we have Yashub, right, or Jashub. This is another name of the Genesis, son of Issachar, third son of Issachar, Job, and he was the founder of the family, the Job, or Job in Genesis, of the Jashubites. But this is different than the Job that we have in the book of Job. This is just the name, right? The name, right? The name. Secondarily, one of the sons of Bani who had to put away his foreign wife in the time of Ezra, right? So we have Yashub, Strong say, as well, brings up the definition. He will return from the 877-25 Shu. So Shu, to return, but in another sense, shub, like teshuvah, is to repent. In other words, you're going the wrong direction, right? And you make a 180. You know, you make a 180. You make a turn back, or the sense of a return. So just as a groundation, first things first, the name. What is in the name? So now getting through the Genesis Job, right, and also the connection with Jobab, right, and also Jashub. Now let's forward to Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Iob, right? And Iob means hated. Now, this is interesting because the word for enemy in Hebrew, right, the biblical Hebrew, some bring out as oybe or ayeb, right? We say oyeb, oybe, call oybai. Right? If I say call all oybai, all my enemies, right? So we see a link here etymologically with ayub, oyeb, right? In the sense of hated or an enemy. But this here was one of the patriarchs, scripturally speaking, and he is the subject of the book in translation known as Job, right? Strong's definition says from hated, that is persecuted. Iob, Ayub, Ayeb, Ayob, that patriarch famous for what? What was Job, right? Ayob, what was he famous for? Well, he was famous because he had patience, and he was under satanic, right? He was under satanic persecution and satanic prosecution. Now, the Job we're speaking about here is the H3347, the H347. Getting to the root of the H347 brings us to the H340, where we have Ayob. Here's the sense of why we have Oyeb, enemy, Oyeb, right? And we have the sense of Job, hated, persecuted, what's in the meaning of the name, because at the root, Ayob from the BDB, Brown's Jarvis Briggs Hebrew definition, to be hostile to. So the Ayob is to be hostile to. Ayob, to be an enemy to. In the basic Hebrew root sense, to be hostile to, or to treat as an enemy. So that means it could be friend or family or whatnot, but if you treat them as an enemy or you be treated as an enemy, this is the sense of the H340, Ayob, right? It's a primitive root. So we're bottoming out. We got to the roots, even the root verb, right? A primitive root to hate as one of an opposite tribe or party. So in the scriptural sense, this kind of hatred, right, was usually for those who were of another tribe, another nation, another nationality or party. Remember, HaSatan's his activity is skin for skin. He even reveals the adversarial mind, reveals his intent, even in the book of Job. So Job is like, it's like a treasure trove, right, of rhema word, of right now word. I said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word that proceedeth from the mouth of Jehovah. So to hate in the sense of as or treat as an enemy, to hate slash treat as an enemy, one of an opposite party, opposite tribe, or someone who is a op. Get the idea of op, right? Opposition, opposite. Hence to be hostile. And therefore, in the more personalized sense, to be an enemy. Now, it's interesting concerning the book of Job and who Job really was. But here, this is the overview before we get into the audible. I'd like to share this audible right here on the first, in this first hour of the podcast, the Testify Tuesday, Rastafari, the Tuesday podcast right here. Once again, Job, persecuted, calamitous, afflicted, adversary, adversity, adverse desires, a coming back, that Yashuv sense, restored to one's senses, penitent, converted. So even though these words might sound different in the English, when we bottom it out in the Hebrew, we can see the link in not the letter, right, of the name of the word, but the spirit of the name of the word. So he was a man in the land of Uz. This is how the book begins off right here. He was a man in the land of Uz. Uz, actually in the Hebrew, Utz, Utz. In the Hebrew, it will be Uz, it will be Utz, Utz. You know, like those, I got to say this, those potato chips out there. But when I saw that, I said, why that look familiar? And then it came to I and I, Holy Spirit shined to I and I, and this is the Utz, Utz. Utz. So in the Hebrew, it's the Utz, right? He was in the land of Utz. Interesting. Ain't nothing new under the sun, right? What does Utz mean? Utz mean wooded. Utz, Utz. Right? We say it's in Amharic, right? The it's like the tree or the herb in the sense, but it's, right? The etz in the Hebrew as well. Here we have Utz. Utz is wooded, right? Woody, wooded in that sense. Right, but the Utz also has a link within the Hebrew, the wood. So on one level, wood in the sense wood and woody, right? And in the next sense of the Hebrew, we have consultation. Utz consultation. Who was Utz? Utz, or KJV said Uz, but Utz, he was a man of Aram. Also, he was a Sairite, right? Sair, remember Esau, Edom, and them, Sair, right? And the region settled by them. But now we get to the roots of Utz, where Job is said to be from. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, we have the H5779, also pronounced as Utz. But now Utz, right, can be wooded, right, in the sense of land of a woody land, but then also Utz means to counsel as a verb. So in a more, what we say, in a kind of a noun sense, right, or adjectival sense, it would be wooded. When we get to a verbal sense, to counsel, to plan. So is there a link between trees and counseling and plans? Meditate on that. Put that in your pipe and bun it. A primitive root to consult. To do what? To consult. That is to take advice. To take advice or to take counsel in the sense of together, to gather. So ut meaning would it, right? And also ut meaning counsel or consultation. So what does the verse, how the verse read? There was a man in the land of Utz whose name was Eob, Ayub, right? And that man was perfect. Oh, man, you know, people, nobody's perfect. Well, you know, that means that the translators would be included, right? Some of the translators as well. And that man was perfect. Now, in the true scriptural context, yes, this is true. I know we keep hearing through Christianity's in this latter day, you know, the whitewash, white Anglo-Saxon Protestantism, schism. We hear, oh, no man, nobody's perfect. And it seems like that old Saturday Night Live thing where it says lowered expectations, you know, like we all have this lowered expectation. But then once I believe in the Lord, but no one is perfect. And then in the Bible says, be perfect. How do we reconcile this? Right? How do we make this make sense? And that man was perfect. Well, we have to look at the Hebrew. The Hebrew says he was calm. Now, the brothers and sisters, obviously, if they've been in the studies, they understand this, but for the others who may be just giving first ear here, this is the H8535, Tom. Tom, right? Like Tom, right? Tom means to be perfect, complete, right? In other words, one who lacks nothing in physical, right, strength and beauty, right? One who lacks nothing, one who is complete. One, it has to do with soundness and wholeness. Right? An ordinary, quiet sort of a person is called Tom, right? Or Tom, bringing out as Tom, right? How do we know this? Well, remember Jacob was said to be a plain man dwelling in tents, according to King James Version. He was a plain man dwelling in tents. Now, when you look up that word plain, what's the Hebrew word behind that? That's the Tom. Right, Tom, the H8535, right? He was wholesome. He was sound, right? Tom also means complete in a moral sense. For example, innocent, one being innocent, one having integrity, one who is, Hebraically speaking, morally and ethically pure is Tom. Now, here's what's interesting. We have the plural sense, Tamim. That's used with the offerings. You know, when the offerings are given, right, according to HaTorah, it speaks about they shall be without blemish, right? You know, they shall be basically perfect. What does that mean? Well, that means if a cow, right, or a bull, right, has a head, has four legs, a tail, you know, all the basic body parts, that's perfect. Right. If it has two heads, if it has three legs, you know what I'm saying? If it has any sort of defect, you know what I mean? It is not complete in that sense. You see what I'm saying? The idea of completeness is at the root of the word, the basic word. So this word can be used of a person, right? As we have Yaakov, even when it spoke about Noah, it says that he was perfect in his generations. Now, some bring out the sense, well, he was complete in his generation. He didn't have any Nephilim, you know, or fallen giants, Nephilim, Anunnaki, Aki Waki. He didn't have none of that ticky-tacky thing. You know what I mean? He was basically, you know, complete. In other words, his genes wasn't mixed up, you know, with, say, like Neanderthal genes, so to speak. So he was perfect, right? But then also perfect, like, let's say, brother owed me $1,000, right? And he said the other day he can only give me $750, right? And then I said, no, hold that, just give me everything one time. You just settle it, right? And then he gets the rest of the money and he brings me that $1,000. And what did I say then? Perfect. Now, do we need to say nobody, nothing is perfect? It's interesting that we will say morally, right, spiritually, and otherwise concerning we, the living beings, that, like, there's nothing perfect, no one's perfect, and just forget about it, everything is bad. But then when a man, right, makes a thing, for example, I've heard people say nobody's perfect to each other, but then the man get a new car, and you say, oh, that's perfect. Interesting. The men and people are not perfect, but they can make something that is perfect. So that means one who is imperfect can create or make something perfect. Make that make sense. So we have to understand the context. See, remember, the word, they could have said complete. They could have said one who lacks nothing. It's like with Jacob, they said that he was a plain man. They didn't say he was a perfect man, as it said earlier, using the same word of Noah. But then when it's talking about the sacrifices, you know, shall be perfect in the sense of, you know, like somebody, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to give examples, but it's almost like, okay, let me give an example. The Parra Aduma, the red heifer, right? The red heifer had to be perfect. What does that mean? It had to be without blemish because the instruction was to bring a red heifer. That means if the heifer had a white streak, that white streak made it not perfect. I mean, it could be perfect in another sense, but it was imperfect for this offering. It was not perfect for this kind of offering. Or if it had a black streak, it was not perfect. So context matters. You know, it's really because of, you know, the King James translation and the fallen nature of education that really have a lot of people on some of these things and make us think that it's saying one thing that it's not. But hopefully, let's study right here. Strong's bring out complete, usually in a moral sense, when it's complete. You know, like somebody, if the Christian ethic is, well, go to church on Sunday, you know, wear your Sunday best, pay your tithe. You know, clap hands, you know, give your tithes and offerings or whatever else like that. You know what I mean? Don't cuss ones out in the church. Don't use foul language. You know, park in your lane and everything. You know what I mean? Wave, be happy with everybody. Then in a sense, in that context, you will be considered a perfect person. Context matters. Context matters, right? So here, getting to the root of tam is tamam as the verb. We have to be complete, to be finished. Remember we said about, you know, like if a man, I owe you $1,000 and I ready to bring you $700, and you say, no, bring me everything, and then I'll bring you the $1,000. Therefore, our business transaction is tamam. The transaction is perfect because the terms and conditions have been met in that case. Now, for something else, somewhere else, some other terms and conditions, well, no, these terms here can't meet those conditions over there. To be complete, to be finished, to be at an end, right? This is the basic idea without going into too much more of the detail. Now, what's interesting about this word tamam, which is the root of tam, which is translated by KJV translators as perfect, is to be complete, to complete something. So to complete something, tamam, which is tam, is complete. It can be in the good or it can be in a bad sense, right? Some people are perfectly, or at least by what they do, perfectly ratchet and wicked. You said this person is perfectly evil, right? You know what I mean? They fulfill, they complete the evil deeds. You see what I'm saying? They are perfectly evil. There's a verse in the Bible, I think, that says something to that effect, right? You know, almost like they're perfect in bad doing. Right, you know, they don't miss an opportunity to do bad. So you see the sense of complete, of perfect, literally or figuratively, transitively or intransitively. Back to the text right here. So he was perfect and he was Yashar. He was Jasher. No, not Jasher, like the book of Jasher, but the book of Jasher comes from the Hebrew Yashar. And Yashar means to be straight, to be straight, right, and to be upright, to be correct, and to be right. Straight in the sense of straightforward, right? One who's a straightforward person, one who would tell you the truth even if it hurts your feelings. They could be considered to be Yashar, right? They are straight, right? They are upright, right? They're not going to go around, you know, the mulberry bush with you. You know what I mean? Yashar, right? Please, well, right, just, meet, right, you know, straight, straight, upright. So this is to now describe this kind of man. And lastly, but not leastly, two more points about his character as attested in the first chapter, in the first verse. And he feared, he respected God, he feared Elohim, right? The Hebrew sense, yare, it can also mean to be reverent, like say, respect, right? Respectful, right? And he eschewed, right? Evil. The Hebrew term for eschewed is the Hebrew word sore, right? Sore, not like sore, but sore. Sore means to turn aside, to depart. You know, you see some evil thing going on down the road and you're driving towards it and you see, oh, I come, let me turn off on this block and let me, you know, walk over here. You turn away, right? To avoid, right? To depart as to avoid, right? So he eschewed, right? He avoided ra'a, evil, that which was bad. Ra'ah, he avoided disagreeability, right? He avoided that which was malignant, that which was evil in the sense of that which gave pain. He avoided what was unpleasant. Ra'ah is also ra, which is evil, that which is unpleasant, unhappiness, misery, something displeasing, right? Get the context right there. Right? He avoided those things. This is what it means that he avoided evil. Not always in this latter-day Gentile religion sense, but in the reality and relationship sense. Now, the reason why we're going into this right here is because it's a reason for the season. So we have a man in the land of Uz, the central figure in the book of Job, of Job. So we get Job chapter 1, verse 1, which you touched on, Job chapter 2, verses 3 to verse 7. Now, metaphysically, like to touch on the metaphysical and looking at the board right here, you know, get to the audible, the score, the audible. So if one haven't read the book of Job, hopefully have you heard the book of Job. Read. Here, the metaphysical of the book of Job, all of that was, we say, the phi cycle, the groundation. Here, the metaphysical. The transition of man from personal, formal righteousness. Again, Job and the book of Job represents the transition, right? Almost like the Hebrew sense, almost like the crossing over from like low degree to high degree, the transition of man from that which is the personal, I, me, myself, and my, you know, the formal righteousness, you know, which can be and even lead to a self-righteousness that is the basis, right, of all self-righteousness. Again, one must transform, right? By the renewing of your mind, the transition of man, the human being, from the personal, the formal righteousness. You ever talk about something that is like bad going on, and sometimes you talk about this like objectively speaking, and then people around sometimes respond to subjective. Well, that's not me. And he's like, no, I'm talking about. See, this is, they have to be transformed, right, from that personal, that formal sense of what is called righteousness, right? But that itself, the personal and the formal sense of what is called righteousness is the basis of all self-righteousness. We point this out in going through some of the Psalms where David says, save me by thy righteousness. He's asking the Almighty to save him, not by his righteousness, but the personal righteousness. You know, people think, well, I don't do this, I don't do that. You know, therefore they feel they are righteous. That's that personal form of righteousness, the basis of all self-righteousness. To be, right, to a true inner change of the heart, to say the innermost of the innocence, and an entrance, right, entering into the real Moshiach, the real anointed, the real Messiah righteousness that deals with the very thoughts and intents of the innermost consciousness instead of merely setting right a few outer acts. So most of them, they always talk about, he's ratchet. Oh, he or she is righteous. They mainly are judging the outer acts. They're looking at the outer acts. Right? They're judging the karma, judging the flesh, right? Because spiritually speaking, they're blind. Remember what Christ said about the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, like our senses. They're judging by the outer senses, not by the inner sense. Remember the wise, who were the wise among those virgins? They had oil in their lamp, oil, a symbol of the spirit, therefore pointing to anointing. So there must be that transition to the truth of the inner change of the heart, the mind, an entrance into the real Moshiach, Messiah, anointed righteousness. And what is this Christ righteousness? It's also part of the real Christ consciousness. Well, it's that which that deals with the very thoughts and intent. Robeinu Yeshua showed I and I this, even in the Brit Chadasha. You know what I mean? He says those of old times said, thou should not kill, you know? Yeah. Thou should not murder in the true Hebrew context. But if you hate your brother without cause, people say, well, if you hate your brother for any cause, but then I say to those who say that, who the freak are you? You're adding something to the word right there. The master said, without cause. Well, what does it mean, without cause? In other words, you find out that your brother is a pedophile and a rapist. You're supposed to love that. You follow what I'm saying? There is a cause, right? But you just hate on somebody. You know, you hate on this person because you might covet what they got. You know what I mean? Really, the sin, the uck, could actually be on you. But if you're only dealing with the outer things, you'll miss it, because at the root is the very thoughts and intents of the innermost consciousness. So we have to deal with the thoughts and the intents. This is what Moshiach said. Right? What Moshiach taught I and I, Robeinu taught I and I these things. You know, even like if you look on, you know, another man's wife to lust after, you know, her. You know what I mean? Even though you have not committed it, right, you have already committed it in your heart. So the very thoughts and intents of the innermost consciousness must be dealt with instead of merely, simply, trying to set things right, in a few outer acts, you know, doing things to be seen, right? In self-righteousness, there is fear of evil. See, that first verse is telling. It says he eschewed evil, and the Hebrew word here is sore, right? Not to soar like in English, but to soar in the sense of to turn aside, right, to remove, to depart, almost like you could say, and he avoided evil. But then putting evil in its proper context, he avoided anything that was bad, disagreeable, malignant, unpleasant, something that gave pain, unhappiness, you know, that was displeasing, right? Even in a sense that which is of lesser value. We could bring that out there, right? He avoided those sort of things. But is it possible in this life, right, to really avoid those? If every time something that is sad, unkind, unhappy, it would seem to make one kind of immature. Remember what Matthew said concerning those 10 words, the 10 commandments? He says, mature. He talks about mature Christian, maturity, right? Growing in grace and that knowledge. So in self-righteousness, which is one of the characteristics that this, quote, righteous, end quote, man, Job, in self-righteousness, there is a fear of evil. Now think about this. If you have a fear of evil because of self-righteousness and you are one that, quote, fear God, the question is which one you fear more? And then even by doing that, you know what I mean? What's the first command? Not to have any other Elohim. You can make evil, unkind, what you don't like, you can make that a God because of fear, false evidence appearing real. So in self-righteousness, there is a fear, false evidence appearing real of evil. The things that Job feared, they came upon him. Now we get into a whole other level of metaphysics here. The thing that he feared came upon him, according to Job chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. Then along came his three friends. Play the track, friends, a little clip, right? What do you call it? A ringtone. Friends, how many of us have them? Well, Job, he had three of them, right? Then along came his friends to do what? To comfort him and to argue with him. And I have it to you, friends, come over to comfort you in something, but also to argue with you. Well, you might have experienced a Job moment. These friends, they represent accusations against self. What do these friends here in the book of Job represent on the metaphysical level? They represent accusations against self and attempted self-justifications of the outer or personal consciousness. A lot of people don't get the joke there. They actually think that, oh man, this God is bad. How can you let Satan do that? What kind of God is this? Because they're not understanding the elements of what this is really about, right? Even the friends, they have a representation. They represent something on a higher level, right? What do they represent? They represent accusations, right? Remember the accuser, Ha-Satan, right? That accusative adversarial mind, the Satan, right? Of the spirit, right? And the soul, not of the carnal people looking for that guy is Satan, that guy is Satan, and missing the spirit. And the spirit can jump into them. These friends represent accusations against self, right? And attempted self-justifications, which is an aspect of self-righteousness, of the outer, or the personal, right? That personal consciousness. It's about consciousness, right? But it says personal. What kind of consciousness is it? Next came, after the three friends, Elihu, he is the interpreter. Metaphysically, he can be likened to the Ruach HaKadosh, to the Holy Spirit. Elihu, the interpreter, or the Holy Spirit within the narrative, who does what? He opens man's eyes. Elihu, the youth. What did the youth do? He opened man's eyes, right, to the real righteousness. He opened Job's eyes to the real right. So Job was righteous. Many ones are righteous, but what kind of righteousness is that? Right? So he opened Job's eyes to the real righteousness, the self-righteousness of the outer man, the carnal man, the outer self, is based on what? It's based on outer acts only. Remember how Job, he appeals, he done this, he done that, you know, and so forth and so on, right? Outer acts only, and does not bring about the reign, the rule, right, of Jalov and wisdom in the heart, in the mind, the innermost of the innocence, and in the thoughts, in the words, and in the whole life, in the holistic life, in the holy life. Seeing this fact, the individual, the indivisible dual, truly, and this is what brought Job truly to do teshuvah, Job said in Job 42 and 5 and 6, after Elohim had talked to him, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. No, Job throughout, when it comes to the like 40-something chapter, right, of Job, 42nd chapter of Job. And after Elohim had talked to him, what did Eob say? He said, I have heard of thee. You would thought by that time he probably knew thee, but he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself. When Job, it wasn't like God like kind of just disappeared in the sense, you know, the anthropomorphic sense. Not that if he will be who he be, the Almighty can do what he will and what he please. But what Job is saying is at a deeper level than the carnal manifestation. Now I can really see. It's like we talk about the face of God before the Lord, the fine, the pana, pani. Right? It also is that POV, that perspective, that point of view. He had a certain point of view that for him was true, and it was true to a certain level. Now when he was going through, he could not align that point of view he had with what he was experiencing. But then after Elohim talked to him, he says, but now mine eye, like his eye was open. It's almost like what happened with Paul. That's why for the reading of the Tisha B'Av, we have Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. Right? When Paul, right, that righteous Benjamite, Judahite, zealous Pharisee, was going out there persecuting the Nazarenes, the disciple of Rabbeinu Yeshua HaNotri, he had to get knocked off his horse and even blinded and in order for him to see. So this aspect of seeing, right? Remember, we have our outer eyes that see, right? But there's also the inner eye that see. But now mine eye, he didn't say my eyes, he said, now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself. Because now he's recognizing that his self-righteousness is different than true righteousness. And he says, and repent in dust and ashes. Right? Repented in dust, have a change of mind in dust and ashes. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Does that really have something to do with repentance? And not this so-called repent. I mean, like bury, like, you know, they talk about ashes to ashes. But, you know, people often get the idea that this is like when you're burying somebody. But if you notice in the scripture, it doesn't really show that sense. Yeah, the dust in that sense. But what about the ashes? Are we talking about cremation here? But no, Job brings it out. And repent in dust and ashes. Then, at that particular point, once he did a 180, right, cycle spiritually in his heart and mind, then comes forgiveness, and then comes healing. It's an important word that Yeshua HaMoshiach says concerning healing, and I truly admit that this is a deep metaphysical truth right here. Hold on for a moment. I want to bring this out, just this verse connected what we're reasoning on here. In the beginning, right, of the disciples' high school in the Gospel of Matthew, when we get to the 13th chapter, right? We go to the 13th chapter, and Yeshua says something very, very interesting here that I think most might not have gotten, but hopefully can get right here, where he says in verse 14 and 15, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, that saith, by hearing y'all shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing y'all shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart, their mind, the innermost of the inner, is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. That converted right there is as of that repentance, have a change of mind. And then he says this last phrase here, and I should heal them. This verse, verse 15, Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, check it out, Chaburim. It almost seems to say that until those foregoing things are done, that even the Moshiach could not affect the healing for them. You know what I'm saying? It's not like when the doctor or the doctor or the Yeah, let's call it the doctor, the healer, physician. The physician does something. You also, you know, they can do their part, but then they give you a prescription, something you also have to do, right? So it's like a hand in hand. So first, this people, right, he says, unless at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. That means they're seeing, but they don't get what they're seeing. They're hearing, and they don't get what they're hearing. What am I saying? Are you hearing? And should understand. Should what? Understand with their heart, to say with their mind, the innermost of the inner part of them, and should be converted or should have that change, right? That transition. Remember Job? Job, the transition of man from the personal formal righteousness that is the basis of all self-righteousness to a true inner change of heart and an entrance into the real Christos Christ anointed righteousness that deals with the very thoughts and intents of the innermost consciousness, i.e. the innermost heart, the innermost consciousness. Okay, right here. Let's take a pause for a moment, brothers and sisters. Just give me one moment. Something going on the board right here.
I'm going to testify. I'm going to testify. What Jah has done.
I just have to testify right here, brothers and sisters and brothers. Those into the live stream, some, you know, Wi-Fi, and this is some storms, been humid, heat wave, and some storms come in. Maybe the storms are responsible for it, but have some Wi-Fi situations going on. So those who are listening, I think about maybe five, maybe two to three. I just looked up at the board again, you know. So, the connection there gave me a signal that I had to check to see how the live stream is doing. So hopefully, you know, the live stream will be up and running. I know a few one-to-ones, no doubt, wanted to catch this one right here. So let's do this right here, brothers and sisters and brothers. Let's play a little Rhema tune right now. We'll return to this. If we don't share tonight, hopefully, we'll chop up Job, because it's about a little less than an hour. I'm already giving ones an overview, so hopefully they can chew on this, maybe play the first couple of, chapters, you know, in Job. But I know ones and ones no doubt was listening, so we want to just recognize that there for our brothers and sisters so they can get a full hear, since I think the stream must have gone out, you know, temporarily, you know, where it was. So a little Rhema tune right here. Let's do this right here, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers. Yeah. Let's keep the joy, keep the joy, keep the joy. I've got joy in my heart. Yes, I. Fredlocks right here. Yes, I. A little pause for the chorus. Fredlocks, I've got joy.
Die.
yes, yes, yes. Hopefully, brothers and sisters, yeah, a little technical, you know, technology, technology. But yes, give thanks to your patience. All praise be the Almighty. Yes, I. So we're touching on Job, Job here in the season. We've heard a lot of stuff said about Job. But really, as we start to break down and study the book of Job, the basics of the Hebrew, the basics of the name, the basics of the context, and also metaphysically speaking, you get a higher view of what's really going on. Why was this particular narrative inserted here in the Hebrew scripts? What was it meant to teach, right? And most, I think, miss, even I and I have missed, you know, from the first year, and we heard about Job. You know, we started to say, what kind of God is this? And why the devil's running around like that? But when we start to recognize what is really being spoken of, you know, and was spoken to here, as we start to bring out right here, just to go through this once again, the transition of man from personal, formal righteousness, you know. And what's interesting is that even when a righteous, even a righteous man or a woman who might be somewhat self-righteous, you know, at times or in a time like a Job time like this right here, here, here. When they speak, you know, everybody's thinking like, man, you are so righteous. And all you basically heard was their self-testimony of themselves, right? The transition of man from personal, formal righteousness, which is the basis of all self-righteousness, all right? So he was in self-wrongful, self-wickedness, but he was self-righteous to a true, the inner change of heart and an entrance. For example, when Job is given sacrifices, right, and then he says, well, he's going to sacrifice on behalf of his children. You know what I mean? You have to stop and say, yeah, that's that, man, he really loved his children, so forth and so on. But it points to the fact that the children need to also do righteousness for themselves. Some things are just not transferable. Like if Job was a rich man, he could have passed on maybe his riches to his children. But if Job was a righteous man, he can't just pass on his righteousness as an inheritance like that to his children. So we have to get to this point here of understanding where the transformation in the book of Job, who the characters represent. As we pointed out, the three friends, right? The three friends, they represent the accusations against the self and attempted self-justifications of the outer or the personal consciousness. Then comes along Elihu, right? Elihu. All right, interesting name, Eli, Eli, my God, who, he, my God is he, Elihu, Elihu, right? Elihu came forward, and Elihu here from the Hebrew metaphysics, he can represent the interpreter or the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, who opens man's eyes to see the real righteousness. We pick up from the beginning of the book, Job is righteous, but is it really, really real, or how real is it, right? It was a little mix in Job's case. He was righteous, but he didn't have a heap of self-righteousness. The self-righteousness of the outer man is based on outer acts only and does not bring about the reign of Jalov and the wisdom of the heart in the thoughts, words, and the whole life, the holistic liberty. Seeing this fact, the indivisible or the individual, right, the indivisible dual, the individual truly, truly repents. Now, Eob had said in Job chapter 42, verses 5 and 6, after Elohim had talked to him, this is a very important verse area here. This is the real transition here where Job said, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent and have a change of mind in dust and ashes. Then come forgiveness and healing. That's what we linked right there with what was it before we had a little technical difficulty? We linked that with Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, where Yeshua said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed, like eyes wide shut, unless at any time they should see with eyes and hear with ears and should understand with heart and should be converted, should be repented, right? Should be changed from the old way, right, to the new way, from the stray way to Yahweh, and I should heal them." Basically, in that verse there, brothers and sisters, maybe I'm wrong, but in going over this, the Holy Spirit verified I'm right about what's being said here, that the healing, even from Yeshua, from God, we can say, based on Matthew chapter 13 and 15, it has to do with our consciousness, how we see, how we hear, how we understand, right? And whether we have made a change from the worse, as it were, to the better. Even if you are righteous, right, in a self-righteous way, it's good you are righteous, but get to the true righteous way. This is why he says what he says. I have heard of thee, speaking concerning God, right, by the hearing of the ear. So a lot of his right, we can maybe even understand his self-righteousness. Like, we hear a lot about Bible and God and what a good person the Lord is like. You know, we hear about this, right, by the hearing of God, by the hearing of the ear. But then when you can see the reality in your life, like he says, but now mine eye, notice he didn't say my eyes. He said, now mine eye seeth thee, therefore I abhor myself. Therefore he abhor, like to say hate, is loathed, is disgusted with himself. See, in his self-righteousness, he's looking around and saying, why me? How could this happen to me? You know, why me? But he says, and he repents in dust and ashes. I mentioned the ashes and dust, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, because white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Christianity gives us this as kind of like what is to be said when somebody dies. But then I question that and say, wait, man returns to the dust according to that Hebrew context here. But what about the ashes? I repent in dust and ashes. This context here, right, is that repentance. Right, concerning that repentance, that humbling oneself, then comes forgiveness and healing. When Eob turned to Elohim and prayed for his friends, you notice that? His captivity was put away. When Job turned to, okay, he was turning up on his friends. He was like, man, y'all are the worst, you know? But when Job turned to Elohim and prayed for his friends, for his chaverim, his captivity, right, his psycho-spiritual health, financial captivity was put away. Job 42 and 10 says, and Jehovah gave Job twice as enough as he had before. Thus, like this, when the awakened individual forgives and seeks cleansing, redeeming, transmuting, Moshiach power, that anointed power for the uplift of his apparent failings and shortcoming, he enters into true shalom, into true joy, and into abundance. So that's all one of the reasons why the IRIT no doubt had us play that tune there about joy from Fred Locke. But here, looking at the time that we have right here. I and I feel a joy right here. Yes, I, Holy One of Israel.
That joy in my soul. I feel that joy within my soul. A burning flame without control. Whoa, I feel that joy within my soul. Whoa, one which both all can control. Oh, in your cup, sweet
up on the throne of fire. Babylon soon up he retire. Sit up on the throne of fire. Babylon, this is your Messiah. On fire. Babylon soon up he retire. On fire. Babylon soon up he retire. In your cup, sit up on the throne of fire. Cup, sit up on the throne of fire. Cup, sit up on the throne of fire.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Adonai Echad. Yes, yes, yes. Let's bring a touch on this right here. Job, have you heard? Let's give a hearing to Job. Now that we have the metaphysical context of Job, hopefully the eye can see with your eye.
The Book of Job, Chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink.
Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael.
The Book of Job, Chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Chapter 2. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movedst me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Chapter 3. After this opened Job his mouth, and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none, neither let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breasts that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Or as a hidden, untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Chapter 4. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, who ever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plough iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perisheth for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth? They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. Chapter 5. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate, neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things, and unsearchable, marvelous things, without number, who giveth rain upon the earth, and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore, and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. Chapter 6. But Job answered and said, Oh, that my grief were truly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed. For now ye are nothing. Ye see my casting down and are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me? Or give a reward for me of your substance? Or deliver me from the enemy's hand? Or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words! But what does your arguing reprove? Do ye imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore be content, look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you, let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again, my righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Chapter 7. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I would not live alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone, till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression, and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Chapter 8. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite, and said, how long wilt thou speak these things, and how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment, or doth the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee, and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee, and tell thee, and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness, and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. Chapter 9. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, What doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop unto him. How much less shall I answer him, and choose out my words to reason with him? Whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called, and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with a tempest, and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say, I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul, I would despise my life. This is one thing, therefore I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. If the scourge slay suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself, I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. Chapter 10. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, Do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days, that thou inquirest after mine iniquity, and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me, and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk, and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart? I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore see thou mine affliction, for it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me, and increasest thine indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me! I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then, and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little, before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Chapter 11. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite, and said, Should not the multitude of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, My doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth, and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up, or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart, and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as waters that pass away, and thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Chapter 12. And Job answered and said, No doubt but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just, upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and he maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings, and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations, and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations, and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Chapter 13. Lo, mine eye hath seen all this. Mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock him? He will surely reprove you, if ye do secretly accept persons. Shall not his excellency make you afraid, and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold now, I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up a ghost. Only do not two things unto me. Then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer. Or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet. And he, as a rotten thing, consumeth, as a garment that is moth-eaten. Chapter 14. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him, that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance, and sendest him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not. And they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn.
Here comes trouble, here comes the danger, sent by the Savior, welcome the Rasta youth. I and I start recruit, soldiers for Selassie army, ay. Here comes trouble, here comes the danger, welcome the Savior, welcome the Rasta youth. You're not for axes, who are the general issue in a warning? The people them a ball, said them tired of mediocre. Evil a go fall when we tread in Ethiopia. Believing from Dan, cause them life no easy boat. Even Bantan said it's not an easy road. Operation, occupy the motherland. Calling all souls as to kind each other along. From creation, he writing a job plan. But chronics can't do it alone. So I'm recruiting soldiers coming from near and far, right too. Executing Selassie I works and me lost a far right through. And them say here comes trouble, here comes the danger, sent by the Savior, welcome the Rasta youth. I'm on a start recruit, soldiers to Selassie I army, aye. Here comes trouble, here comes the danger, welcome the Savior, welcome the Rasta youth. You're not for oxen, who are the general issue in a warning boy. Waving the banner red, green and gold. It is such a honor for the season fall. Discovered on stones, on trees and scrolls. And even in the stories that Jesus told. Rasta youth must inherit the earth. Can't sit down, that's a semi-free word. Bring the fire in a room, that's a semi-free purge. But I can't do it alone. Rasta recruiting soldiers coming from near and far, I see. Executing Selassie I works and be lost a far right through. Here comes trouble, here comes the danger, sent by the Savior, welcome the Rasta youth. I and I start recruit soldiers for Selassie I army, hey. Here comes trouble, here comes the danger, welcome the Savior, welcome the Rasta youth. You're not the artist who are the general issue in a warning, hey. Left or right, the soldiers are gone. Left, right, the soldiers are gone. Hey, could I never throw it down, oh boy. Yeah, I will say left, right, the soldiers are gone. Here comes trouble, my friend, and here comes danger. Rastafari send me come, I said we're sent by the Savior. Here comes trouble, my friend, here comes danger, whoa, whoa. Ooh, nah. Hey, and then say here comes trouble, here comes the danger, here comes trouble.
Here comes the danger. Yes, yes, yes. Trouble. Danger. sent by the Savior. That little summary right there, there's the year. It's a full audible, yes, and a very good study. Hopefully we get a chance to study the book of Eob, the book of Job, said to be one of the oldest portions of the scripts of the Bible. How do we know that? When we say the Hebrew or the type of Shemitic, Afro-Shemitic it contains. But it's a very, very interesting reason, and hopefully ones will get that overview that we did at the beginning right there, there, there. Here we have today's daily psalm, Psalm 107. Yes, I, Psalm 107, so trouble, danger. Interesting relix by Chronics right there, sent by the Savior. And the book of Job in the South, with a particular verses, or we say the phrases, the verses, they mirror and echo elsewhere in the scriptures. So for it to be one of the oldest based on the study of the textual, the science of the language, you know, and as you can see language based on the more archaic use of words and rare words that are only found here or there. So a very important study, but that was corresponding to the previous, the first reading in Devarim and Deuteronomy, were for Shabbat Chazon and for the Tisha B'Av, recalling the mourning for Sion, the mourning for Zion in the season and time. Here we come up to the 45th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong, and we have the Shabbat Nahamu, comfort. You know, comfort and consolation. Speaking of comfort and consolation.
Out in the street, they call it.
Come to Jeff.
Hebrews, Epistle to the Hebrews, return of the king, priest, even that priest king, Malachias, Edek, those troublesome verses. You're still not ready for solid food? No wonder you don't know what righteousness is. No wonder you can't tell good from evil. If Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12 to Hebrews, the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 6 verse 3, those troublesome verses. So, you're still not ready for solid food?
Come, make we eat. Here we have the third day, the third Aliyah, third reading here, 45th sabbatical study for the Shabbat Strong. Here, Moshe, va'et Hanan, and I pleaded, and he beseeched. So we get Moshe in a kind of a Job-like situation. He went through that, wanted to enter into the promised land, tried it with the people, and now he has been told that, well, he can't enter because of what he done did. And so Moses, he is giving direction, instruction to a new generation, a generation that's on the edge of the promised land, a new generation of the youths who are doing by far much better, right, than their forefathers. So we get a new generation, and the theme of the generation and regeneration, also degeneration. They came out of Egypt, right, and those who came out did not enter in that first generation. But here we get a new generation, and Moshe, he reasons with them. He seeks to give the youths the best of, the lessons learned. All right, so all the scripture written for I and I admonition upon whom the ends of this earthly plane have come. So here, let's give ear. Here for the third day, Aliyah, right here, here, here.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
And hear, 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 Shema Yisrael. Hear, give ear. Hear for the Shalishi, Aliyah, Aliyah. The third Aliyah, the third of offering up, the third reading. Here from the fifth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book called Deuteronomy. Here we pick up with Deuteronomy chapter 4 at verse 41 for the Shalishi Aliyah. For the third reading, the third of offering, Aliyah, Anafora, offering up for this Shabbat, Wa'etachanan. Sabbath I besought. Here picking up with Deuteronomy chapter 4 at verse 41. Three of the cities of refuge designated. Here picking up for the Shalishi Aliyah. Aza Yabdil Moshe Shalosha Arim De Aidar Hayardena Nizarecha Then Moses severed three cities on this side, Jordan, toward the sun rising. Aza Yavadil Moshe Shalosha Arim Be'eber HaYarden Mizrecha Shamesh, that the slayer might flee thither, Zeya, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past and I was past, and that fleeing to one of these cities he might live, namely Bezer in the Midbar in the wilderness, in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. And this is HaTorah, the law, direction, instruction, which Moshe set before the Bnei Yisrael, the children, the sons of Yisrael. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spake to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons, the children of Yisrael, after they came forth, Mi Mitzrayim, out of Kemet, out of Egypt. On this side, Yarden, Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of Ha'emori, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses, and the Bnei Yisrael, Yisraelijot, smote after they were come forth, Mi Mitzrayim, out of Kemet, out of Egypt. And they possessed his land, and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on this side Yarden toward the sun rising, from Aroer, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even to Mount Sihon, which is Hermon, and all the plain this side, Yarden, Jordan, eastward, even to the sea of the plain, under the springs of Pisgah. And Shema Yisrael, hear, give ear for the Rabbi'i, the fourth Aliyah, the fourth up offering up, the fourth reading here for this Shabbat Wa'etachanan Senbet Lemenuhu. Hear, Shema, hear, give ear, fifth book of Moses, Hebrew book called Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 5. The new generation taught the Mosaic covenant. Here, picking up with Deuteronomy chapter 5, the new generation taught the Mosaic covenant, and here for the Rabbi'i, the fourth reading, the fourth Aliyah, the fourth up offering up, Anafora, for this Shabbat, Wa'eta Hanan. Vayikra Moshe el kol Yisrael vayomer eleihem Shema Yisrael et ha-chukim ve-et ha-mishpatim asher anoki adober be'azanekem hayom u-le-madtem otam u-shamartem la-esotam. and Moshe. Moses called all Israel. Vayikra Moshe. He'll call Israel. And said to them, Vayomer Lehem, hear, O Israel, Shema Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day. Shema Yisrael etaha chukim ve etaha mishapatim asher anoki dober be'azanekem hayom, that ye all may learn them. Ulemadtem otam, and keep. Ushamartem, and do them. La esotam. Yahweh Eloheinu, Jehovah, Ayinai Elohim, made a covenant, a berit with us, with Ayinai in Horeb. Yahweh Jehovah made not this covenant, this berit, with our fathers, our patriarchs, but with us, with I and I, who are all of us here alive this day. Yahweh Jehovah talked with you face to face in Hahar, in the mount, out of the midst of Ha'esh, the midst of the fire. I stood between Yahweh Jehovah and you at that time, at that Iowa, to shew you the word of Yahweh, the word of Jehovah. For ye all were afraid by reason of Ha'esh, the fire, and went not up, aliyah not up into Hahar, the mount, saying, I, Yahweh Eloheka, I be he who be who he be, the I Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Mitzrayim, Kemet, Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other Elohim before I. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Ki ani Yahweh Eloheka, for I be he who be, we be, the I Elohim, El Kana, a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, the patriarchs, upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, that hate I, and shewing mercy to thousands of them that love me, that love I, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah, the I Elohim, in vain, for Yahweh Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that taketh Shemo, his name, in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah, the I Elohim, hath commanded thee, I. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh Eloheka, of Jehovah, the I Elohim, in it. Thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Mitzrayim and Kemet in Egypt, and Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, brought thee out thence, out from there, through a mighty hand and by stretched out arm. Therefore Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. honor thy father and thy mother as Yahweh Elohe Kadshah, Jehovah, the I Elohim, has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which Yahweh Elohe Kadshah, Jehovah, the I Elohim, giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou be a false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's isha, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's bait house, his field, or his man servant, or his maid servant, his ox or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor,
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
My advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments, and can elaborate on and
Here we have today's daily psalm. We have psalm. We have psalm time according to the royal order of Ethiopian Hebrews, after the order of Melchizedek, the righteous king, even the king of kings, Kedemal, Haile Selassie, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, 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 Hashem,
Hashem. Yeah, we have psalm. It's on 107, the 107th psalm right here,
Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
There's a man, chronics reminding you, asking you kindly to give that answer. Still no one gives thanks. You still complaining. You just complaining. Your pot stirring up, but it never enough. You no one gives thanks. You still complaining. You still complaining. And when they ask you how you're doing, your reply is not too bad. I tell you, your life would be greater if you gave thanks for what you have. My friend, you're blessed and highly favored. Don't take it for granted. Remember your garbage and next man treasure. Anyway, mountain come my youth, you get up here. You still have say you don't know how tomorrow I go see. Tomorrow is another day. Remember someone that live on my bread that day. So when they ask you how you doing, tell them you're doing great. Oh, and never you complain. From your have blood running through your veins. Remember this in everything you do, wherever you go, bring down along the way.
Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, for ever. Hodu la Yahweh ki to, ki le olam hasido. Divine, divine providence. Mizmor kof zain. Hodu la Yahweh ki to, ki le olam hasido. Yomru ge'ulei Yahweh, asher ge'alam yatzar. Ua mea aratzot agibzam, mia mizrach ua mia ma'erav, mia zafon ua miyam. Mizmor kof zin. Hodu la Yahweh ki tov, ki le olam hasido. Yomru ge'ulei Yahweh, asher ge'alam yatzar. Ua mea ratzot agibzam, mi mizrach ua mia ma'erav, mia zafon ua miyam. Today's daily song. First three verses, Aleph, Beit, Gimel. Today's daily song, Mizmor Kof Zain, Divine, Ivine, Providence. Opening verses, summons to praise Elohim from the redeemed slave and the redeemed enslaved. Mizmor Kof Zain. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, for ever. Hodu la Yahweh ki to, ki le olam hasido. Divine, divine providence. Although a new book begins with this mizmor, it is closely linked to the preceding and may be regarded as a continuation, an attenuation of the series. The call to the redeemed of Yahweh of Jehovah points to the return from Babylon as the time, the Iowa of its composition. Four word pictures are drawn by the poet as circumstances of distress in which man is dependent upon Elohim, the true good, the true God's mercy. And they are all applicable to the bitter experience of Yisrael in exile. That the people, Ha'am, Jah people survive the hardships and trials provide occasions, occasion for heartfelt, heartical praise, Isaiah's to be offered to him. At verse 33, the subject matter assumes a different form, and the psalmist meditates, I meditate upon the changes in the consequences, the fortune, the circumstances which befall countries generally, and sees in them also the working of Ha-Elohim, the true good, the true God's purpose. One line of thought runs throughout the Mizmor, the psalm, vis-a-vis loving kindness. Loving kindness, Hasido, Jah's loving kindness, which who hears and who rescues, is the theme of the first part. Loving kindness, Hasido, Jah's loving kindness, which who quote changes all things, and is itself, himself unchanged. This is the theme of the second. Both converge on the final thought in verse 43, that the observance of Ha-Elohim, the true good, the true God's ways, the observance of Yahweh is the part of true wisdom, true wise mind, and inner understanding, and will win the clear perception of the all-embracing mercies of Yahweh, of Yahweh, truth and life. Thus, we have today's daily psalm, the overview, and its theme, Divine, Ivine, Providence, Provida, Providence, seeing before, Provida, before seeing. Hodu, oh, give thanks, Hodu, Hodu la Yahweh. Give thanks to Jehovah, Hodu la Yahweh. Ki-O, for he is good. Ki-O, Hodu Layawa Ki-To, Ki-Olam Hasido, for his mercy endureth forever. For forever his mercy, for ever his mercy. Ki-Olam Hasido. First verse, the Aleph verse. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, for ever. Hodu la Yahuwah ki tov ki le'olam hasido. The beginning of the first section, the first three verses, the Aleph, Beit, the Gimel, the Gamel verse, the Abu Gida verses, the first three verses, Aleph, Beit, Gimel. Summons. The summons to praise Ha'Elohim, the true good, the true God, to praise Jah from the redeemed slaves, the redeemed enslaved. Hodu la Yahuwah ki tov ki la'olam hasido. Yomru ge'ulei Yahuwah asher ge'alam miyad tzar. So may the redeemed of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, say, Yomru ge'ulei Yahuwah. Yomru, may they say, Yomru ge'ulei, the redeemed of Yahuwah, Yehovah, ge'ulei Yahuwah. Ge'ulei Yahuwah, the redeemed of Jehovah. Yomru ge'ulei Yahuwah, so may the redeemed of Jehovah say, Asher ge'alam miyad tzar, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Asher ge'alam miyad tzar, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary. The redeemed of Yahweh, redeemed of Jehovah. Now this here quoted from Yeshayahu, Isaiah, LXII, Isaiah 62 and 12. And they shall call them the returned captives, the holy people, the Isla people, the redeemed of Jehovah. Ge'ulei Yahuwah, Ge'ulei Yahuwah, the redeemed of Jehovah. So may the redeemed of Jehovah say, Yomru Ge'ulei Yahuwah, Asher Ge'alam Miyad Tzar, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary. From the hand of the adversary. Miyad Tzar, the adversary, the Tzar. Perhaps to be translated, adversity. The adversary and the adversity. It is the same word as trouble as found in verse 6. So, whom he hath redeemed, Asher Ge'alam, Miyad, from the Yad, the hand, Miyad, Tzar, from the hand of adversity, from the hand of the adversary. The Gimel, the Gamel verse, the third verse. U me eratzot kibzam mi mizrach ua mi yama erav mi yatzafon ua mi yam, and gathered them, and gathered them out of the lands. U me eratzot, and from the lands, the countries. U me eratzot kibzam kibzam. Gathered, the root here of the Kabat, the kibbutz, who he has gathered them, kibbutzam, who may aratzot, kibbutzam, and gather them out of the lands, and gather them out of the lands, mi amizarachu, u ami ma'arav, mi atzafon, u ami yam, from the east, mi amizarach, and from the west, u ami ma'arav, from the north, miyat afon, and from the sea, u miyam, and from the sea, whom he has gathered them out of the lands. Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, El Elohe Yisrael, the true good of Yisrael, has answered the prayer of the preceding, even the preceding psalm,
off, wow, the 106 Psalm, verse 47. Gather us, gather I and I. Gather I and I from among the nations, the Goyim, the international community. The mention of lands, Aratzot, in the plural, not just in the Aret, in the singular, but Aratzot, the lands, it signifies that the Israelites from many lands doubtless return to join the newly founded community in Yerushalayim, the newly founded community in Jerusalem. From the sea, U-Mi-Yam, Mi-Yam, from the sea, the Yam, the sea. This term usually means the west, but here we have it with the south. Here, the south, many say is required, but literally, U-Mi-Yam, the Targum, the interpretation it renders the sea of the south, which may indicate the Indian Ocean or even the Ethiopic Ocean, now renamed and called the Transatlantic or the Southern Atlantic Ocean, or the part of the Mediterranean that borders on Mitzrayim, on Kemet, on Egypt. Possibly the psalmist is quoting the words of Yeshayahu of Isaiah, or vice versa. We have Isaiah XLIX. We have Isaiah 49:12. Although the sea there in Isaiah 49:12 means the west. These opening verses, the summons, the praise, the Isis Yah, Yah, from the redeemed enslaved. Hodu layawa kito, ki laolam hasido, yomru geulei yahuwa, asher gealam miyad atzar, u mearatzota kibetzam, miya mizarach u miya ma'erav, miya tzafon u miyam.
Yes, today's Daily Psalm right here. We pick up and we begin here. Interesting with the previous psalm according to the royal order. We had Psalm 89. If I recall correctly, that was the last psalm in the third book. And here today's Daily Psalm is the first psalm in the fifth book of the Psalter. And it seemed divine providence. Just to zoom in right here as I listen to the audible, the redeemed of Jehovah. Let them say, Yomru, Geule, right? Geule, or we can say Gula, right? Geule, the Gula, right? There's a Gula, right? Over here and even over there in the east, there's a tribe that used to be known as the Gala, the Oromo people. But over here, even in the Gula, the Geechee, the Sea Islands, they were some of the first, we can say, of those who were enslaved, who through that power, right, of that living faith, were redeemed. So we have the term geule, the gule, gala, you know, we're making these connections right here, even for our people over here. And the next word was the aratzot, the aratzot. I think I've heard ones go into Esdras or the apocryphal book of Ezra and speak about, you know, there's a place, aratzot, it's kind of translated into English from the Hebrew, but that's pointing to this word that we have right here in the third verse, the Gimel, the Gamel verse, u and mi aratzot, the aratzot. So the aratzot, which is a plural of the word aretz or eretz, in some point, eretz, aretz, u and mi Aratzot, Kibtzam, the kibbutz idea, Kibtzam, Kabat, the gathering. Another interesting note was about the sea, right? The sea, when it says from the east, the East in the Hebrew, me from Mizrach, 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 Mizrach come from Zarah, which means to rise, like the sunrise. You know, we see the sunrise and people talk about whether it's heliocentric or whether it's a flat earth or it's a ball bouncing around, spinning and flying, and the clouds going in all different directions, but it's spinning this way. Anyway, the Mizrach, Mizrach. The translation would say the rising, like the zarah, like the rising. When it says the sun, the zarah, the sunrise. But the word in Hebrew itself doesn't mean the sun is moving up and down, or even that the earth is moving up and down, but that the light, speaking of the zarah, zarah is speaking of light rising, you know, as light rises. So this is an interesting note there. So we have the Mizrach, which is the east, or from the place of the rising of the light. So we said the rising of the sun, but when you understand the Hebrew, you understand that this is to say that the sun is like moving up and down. Like, for example, when Joshua, Yehoshua, calls for the sun to stand still, the actual word used in the Hebrew is to be silent, which is interesting when you think about it. But even as we study science and man learns certain things or relearns certain things, it's interesting, you know, of the real science of the universe. But when it says the sun stands still, it says the sun be silent. You know, word, sound, power, the sun be silent. The word for the west, right, ua mi ma'irab, mi ma'irab, the ma'irab or the ma'reb, somebody said the ma'reb, ma'irab, ma'irab. So even the sound, the Arab, Arab, in the sense of Arab, ma'irab, means the west. Then it says from the north, mi zafon, the zafon. You see that in the translation as zafon or zephon, zafon. Right, me zafon, the north. But the last part was curious. We didn't go into much detail, but just to note these notes here for hopefully further reasoning. Speaking of the Hebrew word sound of the redeemed of Jehovah, Geule Yahovah, Geule or Gule, like the Gala, Gala, Geule Yahovah. Then we have the Aratzot connected with Esdras, and when some assume, say, well, the Aratzot, this was America, that the Israelites, the 10 tribes, they journeyed and came over here, the Native Americans, to America. Well, actually, if you knew Hebrew, the Aratzot, the word that is somewhat mistransliterated, right, in the English Apocrypha, is referring to the countries and to the context of what's here in today's daily psalm. And gather them out of the lands, or gather them out of the countries, out of the Aretz, the Aretzes, the Aratzes, Aratzes, Aratzot, Aratzot. Then lastly, U Mi Yam, the Yam. Yam is the sea. So when we're looking at the directions in the wilderness and talks about from the sea of such and such and the sea, some people try to make it either the Dead Sea or this sea or that sea. But if you put it into the context of the Hebrew, this also refers to the west. The sea, the term sea, we say Yam Suf. Well, that's the sea of the Suf. Suf is the reeds. But when you say the Yam itself, the term usually means in the Hebrew the west. Right, but since already here, based on the order, it says the Ma'irab, the Arab, the Ma'irab, bringing out west, it seems as though some would say the south is required. We're going to reason on this a little bit more right here, 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 but this is why in the audible we made the connection with the western lands of West Africa. In fact, in the book of Adam and Eve, it speaks about the prophecy of the western lands. And when you study that there in spirit and the truth, it kind of echoes also that prophecy, right, of the children of Israel after 70 AD, which here in the season with the mourning for Zion, with the Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the first and second temple. This all kind of corresponds here in the royal order psalms here in the season. Brings out the rhyme, the divine, divine rhyme and reason. Here, first part of the Midrash here, because of time considerations right here on the end and the Irish for the T to T Testify Tuesday. Here, the Midrash, the study on today's daily psalm, Psalm 107.
The Isis, the chants, the Isis of Dawid, of David, And here, the Midrash, the study on today's psalm is more Kof Zain. Psalm 107, Psalm CVII. And here, we begin Book 5, Book 5 of the Psalms of the Sefer Tehillim, of the Isis, the chants, the Isis of Dawid, of David. Here. Psalm theme, divine providence, Ivine, Provida, providence, pro, before, vida, looking to see, looking ahead, Ivine, providence. Here. Today's psalm, Mizmor Kof Zain. Here, beginning the fifth book of the Psalter, from Psalm 107 to Psalm 150, from Psalm CVII to Psalm CL. Here, today's psalm, Mizmor Kof Zain, a midrash, a study on today's psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Here, today's psalm, Psalm 107, the Aleph and the Beit verses, the first and the second verses. Hodu la Yahuwah ki tov ki le'olam hatsedo yomru ge'ulei Yahuwah asher ge'alam miyad tsar. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah. Hodu la Yahuwah, for he is good, ki tov, for good, ki tov. Hodu la Yahuwah, ki tov, for his mercy endureth forever, for ever. Ki le'olam chasedo, for his mercy chasedo, endure le'olam, for ever. Ki le'olam chasedo. So, make the redeemed of Jehovah say, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Yomru ge'ulei Yahuwah. So make say the redeemed of Jehovah. Yomru, say them to say. Yomru ge'ulei Yahuwah, whom Asher he hath redeemed, them who he hath redeemed. Asher ge'alam, Asher ge'alam, miyad tsar, miyad, from the yad, from the hand, miyad tsar, from the hand of the tsar, miyad tsar, from the hand of the adversary. Hodu la Yahuwah ki tov ki le'olam chasedo, yomru ge'ulei Yahuwah, Asher ge'alam, miyad tsar. Elsewhere, this is what scriptures say, even in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 11. For mine own sake, will I do it. For mine own sake, will I do it. The scripture does not say, for mine own sake will I do it, but for mine own sake will I do it. Scripture does not say, for mine own sake will I do it, but for mine own sake will I do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, said, I shall do it for no reason other than that Shemi, my name, Shemi, the Hashem, the name, Shemi, should not be profane. But why? Lamazeh, why is for mine own sake, le ma'ini, but why is for mine own sake said twice? Because HaKadosh, the Holy One, the Sanctified, the Set Apart, the Isla One, Baruch Hu, blessed be he, said, even as when you were in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, in Kemet, I redeemed you for the sake of Shemi, my name, So in Edom, I shall save you for the sake of Shemi, for the sake of my name. As is said, even in the 106th Psalm, Hebraically the 8th verse, where it reads, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Vayosha'im lima'an shemo. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Vayosha'im lima'an shemo. And even as I redeemed you in this world, so I shall redeem you in the olam haba, in the world to come. Therefore, lima'ani, for mine own sake, is said twice. For mine own sake, for mine own sake will I do it. Therefore, for mine own sake is said twice. By that, Ha'el, Ha'el, Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim, the power meant, my glory will I not give to another, and other. Even here in Yeshaya, Yeshayahu, Esaias, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 11. Ukvodi le'achir lo etain, and my glory, ukvodi, and my kavod, ukvodi, and my glory, le'achir, to another, lo etain, no I give, will I not give. Ukvodi le'achir lo etain. Rav Huna HaKohen Bar Adin said that at the end of 40 years, Moshe admonished Yisrael, even in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3 and verse 5, where it reads, know therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he that goeth over before thee, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thy heart, dost thou go in to possess their land. V'yadalta hayom ki Yahuwah Eloheka hu ha'over lefaneka esha okla hu yashmideima v'hu yachne'ima lefaneka v'horashtama v'ha'avadtama mahira ka'asher diber Yahuwah lak. Full of full verse, know therefore this day v'yada'ita hayom, that Jehovah, the I Elohim, is he who goeth over before thee as a devouring fire. V'yada'ita hayom, ki Yahuwah Eloheka hu ha'ober lefaneka esha okla. He will destroy them, and he will bring them down before thee. So shalt thou drive them out and make them to perish quickly, as Yahuwah, as Jehovah, has spoken to thee. I, who yashmideima wehu yakne'ima lefaneka wehorashtama wehabadtama mahir kasher diber Yahuwah lak. And here, full of full, verse 5, lo v'tzidkateka ua v'yoshera levaveka atava la resheta eta arzam kia b'risha'ata ha'goyim ha'el Yahuwah Eloheka morisham mipaneka ula ma'ana hakima eta ha'davar asher nishba Yahuwah la avoteka Le Avraham, Le Yitzhak, Ua Le Yaakov. Full of full, verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 9, here, verse 5. Not for thy righteousness, lo b'tzidkateka, or for the uprightness of thy heart, Ua b'yoshera lebabeka, dost thou go in to possess their land. Ataba la resheta eta arzam. But for the wickedness, the wretchedness of these nations, Yahuwah Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, thy power, doth drive them out from before thee, from before thee, I. ki be rishata hagoyim ha'el Yahuwah Eloheka morishama mipaneka, and that he may establish the word, and that he may establish the word ulema'an ulma'an hakim eta hadabar, that Yahuwah Jehovah swore to thy fathers, to thy patriarchs, Asher Nishaba'a Yahuwah La Avoteka, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, Le Abraham, Le Yitzhaka Ula Yaikov, Lo Bitzitateka Ua Be Yoshera Le Babeka, Ataba La Resheta Eta Arzam, Kia Be Risha Ata Hagoyim Hael Yahuwah Eloheka Morishama Mipaneka Ulamaana Hakima Eta Hadavar Asher Nishva Yahuwah La Avoteka Le Avraham Le Yitzhak Ul Yaikob Ul Yaikob. So Rav Huna HaKohen Bar Abin, Rav Huna the priest Bar Abin, he said that at the end of 40 years Moses admonished Yisrael, Israel, even in the words from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3. Know therefore this day, we yada'ita hayom, that Yahuwah Eloheka, he who be thy power, is he that goeth over before thee. Ki Yahuwah Eloheka hu ha'over lefaneka. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thy heart. Lo bitzitateka ubiyoshera lebabeka. Dost thou, the eye, go in to possess their land. Ata ba la resheta eta arzam. Moshe, in saying, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thy heart dost thou, the eye, go in to possess their land, nor for the wickedness of these nations. Hear, HaTorah says, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thy heart dost thou go in to possess their land, but for the wickedness, the ratchetness of these nations. Lo bitzitateka ube yosher lebaveka ataba la resheta et arzam kia be rishat hagoyim haele. Moshe meant that not for these three reasons did Hailahim, the power, permit Yisrael to possess the land. And here, Midrash note. And here, the Midrash note on today's Psalm Mizmor Kof Zayin, Psalm 107. Here, the translation of the comment, as well as the saying, nor for the wickedness, the ratchetness, instead of the usual reading, the KJV, even the JV, the Yehudi version, because of the wickedness, because of the ratchetness, some say is conjectural, right here. Lo bitzitateka uave yoshera levavika atava la resheta eta arzam kia be rishata hagoyim ha'el. The usual read is, not for thy righteousness, lo bitzitateka, or for the uprightness of thy heart. Uva yosher levaveka, dost thou go in to possess their land? Ata ba la resheta eta arzam. Here the Yehudi version, the JV, the KJV says, but for the wickedness of these nations. Here in the Masoretic Hebrew, ki for birishat, in the ratchetness, ki birishata hagoyim ha'ele, for in the ratchetness, in the wickedness, so the sense of but is not here, rather, ki, for, because ki be by way of rishat, the wretchedness, ki be rishata hagoyi, hagoyi, the nations, ha'el, these nations, ki be rishat hagoyi, ha'el. So here in the Midrash, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thy heart dost thou go in to possess their land, nor for the wickedness, the wretchedness of these nations. For in the wickedness, the Hebrew would be brought out better as, for in the wickedness, ki berishat, in the wickedness, hagoyim ha'ele, of these nations, the wickedness, the wretchedness of these nations. Moshe Rabbeinu meant that not for these three reasons did Ha'el, Ha'elahim, the power, permit Yisrael to possess the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, said further, nor have I done this for the sake of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For whose sake then? For whose sake then? For my great name's sake. David said, seeing what Ha'el, Ha'elahim, the power, does for his great name's sake, oh, give thanks, youngful eyes, is to Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, for ever. Hodu LaYahuwah ki tov ki le'olam chasado. Hodu, give thanks, y'all. Hodu LaYahuwah to Jehovah ki tov for good. Ki tov for good, translated as for he is good in the Hebrew. Ki for tov for good. Hodu LaYahuwah ki tov ki le'olam chasado. Oh, give thanks to he who be, who he be, to Jehovah. Hodu LaYahuwah ki tov for good. Ki for le'olam, for iver, chasado, his mercy, his loving kindness. Rav Berakayu said in the name of Rav Chelbo, who taught in the name of Rav Shemuel, Samuel, who are meant by the redeemed in the Beit verse, the second verse of today's Psalm, Mizmor Kof Zain, Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say, who are meant by the redeemed? In Yomru, Geulei Yahuwah, so make the redeemed of Jehovah, he who be, who he be, say. What is meant by the Geulei, the redeemed? In Yomru, Geulei Yahuwah, may the redeemed of Jehovah say. Amo Yisrael, the people of Yisrael, the people of Israel. This Isaiah, Isaiah made explicit in saying, even in Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 35 and 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing to Zion, and the ransomed of Jehovah shall return and come with singing to Zion. Here, Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 35, here, the first part of the 10th verse. Ufa duye Yahuwah, Yeshuvuna, Uavaot Ziona, Berina, and the ransomed of Jehovah shall return. Ufa duye Yahuwah, Yeshuvun, Ufa duye Yahuwah, Yeshuvun, and the ransomed of Jehovah shall return, Ubau Zion Berina, and come, Ubau, Uvau, Ubau, and they shall come Zion to Zion Berina, with singing, and come with singing to Zion. Ufaduye Yahuwah Yeshuvuna, Ubau Zion Berina. He did not say, quote, the ransomed of Eliyahu, of Elijah, nor the ransomed of the King Messiah of Moshiach HaMelech, but the ransomed of Yahuwah, of Jehovah. Ufaduye Yahuwah, ufaduye Ufaduye, Yahweh, the ransomed of Jehovah. Even so, the psalm, the Mizmor, the chant, the Isis, speaks of the redeemed of Yahweh, the redeemed of Jehovah. Geulei, Yahweh, Geulei, Yahweh. Another explanation of so let, so make the redeemed of Jehovah say, Yomru Geulei Yahuwah, and gather them out of the lands. They wandered in the wilderness. So make the redeemed of Jehovah say, and gather them out of the lands. They wandered in the wilderness. Hear, hear, hear. Today's psalm, Psalm 107, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 4. Yomru Geulei Yahuwah. Hear, hear, hear. Here, this will be the third verse. And gather them out of the lands. U'mei eratzota kibtzam. U'mei eratzota kibtzam. And gather them out of the lands. Ta'ua va'midbara bi'ashimon darek. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert way. Ta'ua va'midbara bi'ashimon darek. They wandered in the wilderness. Are these words praise of Ha'el, the power, the true good, the true God of Ha'elohim, Ha'lahayim, Ha'ilahim? Yes, said David. Yes, said David. Yes, said David. And here, here, Midrash note, the ET, the edited text, has HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. For though they wandered in the Midbar, Bamidbar, Ha'el, Ha'el, the power of the Almighty, Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim, gathered them. But does wandered mean that they were lost? Bamidbar? Does wander mean, does the Hebrew ta'u, 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 does that mean that they were lost? Bamidbar, in the wilderness? Rav Yehuda bar Shalom, Judah bar Shalom explained, in repeating the two verses from the previous psalm, from Psalm 106, Hebrew, the 47th verse, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us, and the next verse from Psalm 106, the 48th verse, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. And here, here, Mizmor Kof Vav Kof Wow, here, 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 Psalm 106, verse 47 and verse 48. Hosha'inu, Yahweh Eloheinu, save us, save I and I, Hosha'inu, Hosha'inu, save I and I, Yahweh, 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 O Jehovah, Eloheinu, I and I, Elohim, Vikavtzeinu, Vikavtzeinu, we and Kavtzeinu, and gather us, and gather I and I, min ha-goyim, from among the nations. And verse 48, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. Baruch Yahweh Elohei Yisrael. Baruch Yahuwah Elohei Yisrael. Blessed be Jehovah. Baruch Yahuwah, the Elohim, the power of Yisrael, of Israel. Elohei Yisrael. And here, here, the Midrash note, the two verses are repeated in 1 Chronicles. These two verses are repeated in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 35 to verse 36. And here, here, 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 35 and 36, a repeat, here, 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 of Psalm 106, verse 47, 48. And say ye, and save y'all, save us, save I and I, O Elohim of I and I salvation, and gather us, gather I and I together, together, and deliver us, deliver I and I from the heathen, that we, that I and I may give thanks, young for Isis, to thy Isla name, to thy holy, thy set-apart name, and glory in thy praise, glory in thy Isis. Blessed be Yahuwah, Jehovah Elohe Yisrael, the Elohim of Israel, forever and ever, for ever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise and Isis, Yahuwah, Jehovah. Hear, hear, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 35 to verse 36. So scripture implies that HaKadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, said, though they wander from the path of righteousness, I shall redeem them, as I did in the wilderness, Bamidbar. For it is said, even in Yeshayah, in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17, O Israel, that in future ages will be saved by the Lord. O Yisrael, that in future ages will be saved by Jehovah. Yisrael nosha'a b'Yahuwah t'shu'ata olamim. O Israel, Yisrael, that art saved, nosha'a, by Jehovah, by Yahuwah, with an everlasting, an eternal, everlasting salvation. Teshuat olamim. Yisrael nosha'a b'Yahuwah. Teshuat olamim. And scripture says also, even in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7, the Lord shall save the tents of Judah as of yore. Here, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7. V'hoshi'ah Yahuwah et aholei Yehuda barishona. Jehovah, he who be, who ye be, also shall save. V'hoshi'ah Yahuwah the tents et aholei of Judah, Yehuda, first. Ba Rishona, with Hoshea Yahuwah et Aholeya Yehuda Ba Rishona. Jehovah shall save the tents as of yore, as of yore. Hear, 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 from the Hebrew, Ba Rishona, at the first, as of yore, at the first, as in the beginning, with Hoshea Yahuwah et Aholeya Yehuda Ba Rishona. Hence, here, 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 it is said, they wandered in the wilderness. Ta'ua b'midbar b'yashimon darek. They wandered in the wilderness. Ta'u b'midbar. Ta'u, they wandered b'midbar in the wilderness. In a desert way. B'yashimon darek. Bishimon darek, in a desert, in a desert way. Ta'u b'midbar b'yashimon darek. A different exposition, it reads the verse literally. The redeemed of the Lord, whom he hath redeemed, will say. In a different exposition here of today's Psalm, Mizmor Kof Zayin, Psalm 107, the verse is read literally. Reading the verse literally, the redeemed of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, whom he hath redeemed, will say, Yomru Geulei Yahuwah, the redeemed of Jehovah, whom he hath redeemed, will say. One would expect scripture, the scripts, one would expect scripture to have said, the redeemed of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, whom he will redeem, will say. Or, the redeemed of Jehovah, whom he hath redeemed, said. one would expect the scripture to have said, the redeemed of Jehovah, whom he will redeem, will say, or the redeemed of Jehovah, whom he hath redeemed, said. Rav Yehuda Bar Shalom, Judah Bar Shalom explained, scripture puts it exactly, Baduk, exactly, for the word of HaKadosh, the Holy One, the set apart to sanctify the Isle One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, is identical with the deed. For the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is identical with the deed. And from whose life can one prove this? From Abraham's, from Abraham's. What is said of Abraham? What is said of Abraham? Even in Bereshit, in Genesis, Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, where it reads, in that day, Jehovah made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to thy seed have I given this land. Bayom hahu karata Yahuwah et Avram berita lemor lezareka natati et haareta hazot. In that day, Yahweh, Jehovah, made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Bayom hahua karata Yahuwah et Abraham berit lemor, to thy seed, lezareka, to thy seed, lezareka, natati have I given, natati, et haaret hazot, this land, et haaret hazot, this land. Bayom hahua karata Yahuwah et Avrama brita lemor lizarka natati et haaret hazot. The scripture does not say shall give, but natati, I have given. The scripture does not say shall give, will give, but I have given, natati. But did Abraham already have sons, Bani? At that time, at that Iowa, he had not yet begotten a son. However, the word, the Dabar of HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, of the Holy One, the Idol One, blessed be He, is identical with the deed. HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Idol One, blessed be He, declares, when I say a thing, behold, it is done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, when I say a thing, when I sing, behold, it done. Behold, it done. Therefore, when scripture says, the redeemed of Yahuwah, the redeemed of Jehovah, Geulei Yahuwah, it is because He has already redeemed them, 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 redeemed them.
Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, Chavarim them. Yes, I. Stay tuned, stay tuned. Give thanks, Chavarim, Chavarim. Psalm 107 right here, here, here. Just going through a first part of it, but a very interesting study. Stay tuned, stay tuned. Coming forward for the fourth day of the Shavuah, fourth day of the seven right here, called Wednesday, for the Wisdom Wednesday. Remember the words of Rabbeinu, Sinai Rabbi, the Rabbi Rabbis, Yeshua HaMashiach. Wisdom is justified by all of her children. Children, children. Shalom, Chavarim. Shalom.